Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Hey queers, you're listening to Movies a la Queer. This is Sarita, and now I know you guys are looking at the title and you're gonna say, oh my god, a breakup film? Did Sarah go through a breakup that we don't know about? Well, hold your horses, I actually did not go through a breakup, and to prove that, I do have a special guest with me on this show, and it's my girlfriend Danielle. Hi Danielle.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
She's so cute. But yeah, we're actually gonna talk about our top 10 films. Each of us have 10, so it's gonna be a pretty big list, our top 10 favorite films that are both queer and non-queer that relate to a breakup in some way. So do you have your list?
Yes, I do.
Okay, but first, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners?
All right, okay. So my name's Danielle. Hi. And what, you want me to say like three things about me?
Sure.
Okay.
Go.
So I am a psychology major. I work on a research team at my school in one of the psychology labs. Mm-hmm. And I guess a third thing is I am a Gemini.
Ooh. All right. Well, there you go. Some things about Danielle. You can't know everything, though. Okay, so let's start with our top five favorite non-queer or major motion picture, however you guys like to call it, breakup films. And we do both have our list of top five, so we're just going to go back and forth.
And tell them that we don't know each other's list.
And we don't know each other's list, by the way. So our reactions
so
are very...
surprise.
Yes, our reactions are very genuine. So major motion picture slash non-queer films. My top five is Gone with the Wind, which, yeah, I know. Don't.
That's
know.
Your number five?
That's my number five.
Okay.
Have you ever seen Gone with the Wind?
I mean, no.
No? No? I have to school her.
No.
Okay. So Gone with the Wind is a 1939 film, and it stars Clark Gable and Vivian Leigh, and it's about this Southern belle who is so spoiled, and she's in love with this guy named Ashley, or she thinks she is, so she kind of manipulates her life into, like, being this... She's just a total cunt. But what I love is that the film is like 3 hours. Or not, I think it's 3.5. It's like one of the longest films. Think about Titanic, but not about
okay.
Titanic.
Yeah.
And it goes through like war. It goes through like slavery in some way. It goes through... It's just a very nice film. And it's set in like the late 1800s, I believe. Or the early 1900s. And again, I feel like just the relationship between Clark Gable and Vivian Leigh was just great. Like, they had this chemistry, but they weren't really together till later on. It was just a beautiful film. And I feel like that was, because it ended in a way that, if that's the movie where, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. That's where that movie came.
See, you know, the only reason I know that movie is from The Real Housewives, where that one, the one, you know what I'm talking about? Gone with the Wind, Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Forget it. She has a song about it. She has a song about it.
Which
Gone
one?
With the Wind, Fabulous. I don't know.
So ratchet. So ratchet. But yeah, that's my top five. What's yours?
Okay, so my number five is Sex and the City, the movie.
Which one?
It came out in 2008, the first one.
Okay, let's say the second one was a fail.
No. The first one, like the one where with Carrie and Big and the wedding and all that.
That was really
and, sick. I mean, I think I loved it so much because, like, I watched the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I always followed it. And I've always loved Carrie and Big's relationship just because, like, Big definitely cared about Carrie, but he was always such a commitment phobe.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how in the movie, like, they kind of stayed true to that. Because, like, if he would have just married her without any hesitation, it kind of wouldn't have been real.
Or
like,
true to Carrie.
True, yeah, at all. So, I don't know. I loved the realness of it.
Yeah, it was. I actually loved that, just that planning and the dresses. And I thought that the first movie was, of course, everyone knows that the first movie was so much better than the sequel.
Yeah.
And the sequel had to do also with Big and Carrie.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I still watch the second one.
I mean, all right. So my number four is. It Is a Disaster, which is a movie that I just saw. It's literally called It Is a Disaster.
Can you pick a movie I've seen?
I know. No, but this is on Netflix, though, so you have no excuse to not see it. And it stars America Ferrera, who you guys might know from the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, Ugly Betty. There's Julia Stiles, who, if you guys don't know her, you should look her up. She was in a lot of, like, early 2000 films, including 10 Things I Hate About You. David Cross, Todd Berger, and Rachel Boston. Aaron Hayes and Blaze Miller. And it's actually a really funny film about how these couples meet up, like these best friends, they meet up on a Sunday to for like a Sunday couples brunch, like it's specifically for couples. And during this one particular Sunday, Julia Stiles, she brings David Cross as like her new boyfriend kind of thing, who's meeting her friends. And they all decide, again, to do this brunch. But there's a lot of tension within the couples. Like, there's obviously situations that are happening, whether it's a divorce or a breakup or, like, just this weird shit that's going on. And I'm sorry, but I loved Rachel Boston in this. And there's another film. Have you ever heard of Rachel Boston? She did a movie called Plan B or Just the Pill. I'm not sure which one it is. But it's a movie about her, like, having a one-night stand with some guy and, like, the entire... It's like the movie takes place like in one day, and it's about him trying to get her to take a plan B, and she just refuses to.
Yeah.
And then he finds out that he has to find her again so she can take the second pill, but she's supposed to take like a second pill like 24 hours. Yeah, like the follow-up pill. And he like goes back to try to, it's so cheesy, but it's so clever. Yeah. And I feel like she kind of made this movie, It Is a Disaster. And yet she was the one that had like the best relationship out of them all. So I thought that was a pretty awesome film that, I don't know, it kind of defined, like, it had a very real dialogue and pretty unique sense of how different couples are in that age, like late 20s, early 30s.
I just think it's funny that you're picking all these movies that probably no one has ever heard of.
Well, Gone with the Wind, people, I mean...
Well, yeah, okay, yeah.
Maybe it's because like I'm a media major, but I feel like Gone with the Wind is known for... Like, of course, like, older people would know Gone with the Wind because of Clark Gable, and he was, like, a heartthrob during that time. But, and because it's, not, you know, it's, like, film history. But It Is a Disaster was only made last year in 2012. And again, if you do have Netflix, look that shit up. It's such a funny film. What's your number four?
Okay, my number four, people will actually know. It's Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, that is such a favorite for people.
It's so good.
You know what's funny? I never saw it.
You've never seen it?
No, I've never seen it.
Okay. Well, it stars Jason Segel, Kristen Bell's in it, Mila Kunis, Russell Brand.
Mila Kunis is in it? Mm-hmm.
She plays, Jason Segel plays a guy named Peter, and him and Sarah just went through, like, a breakup. Like, she broke up with him. So in order to get over it, instead of, like, he, like, rebounds through, like, a bunch of people, and, like, he's still not feeling better. So he goes on a vacation, and that's where he meets Mila Kunis' character, who is... Rachel. I don't know. I'm looking at notes here. I don't know if by heart. And, while he's on the vacation, it ends up that Sarah Marshall and her new boyfriend, who's played by Russell Brand, who's Aldous Snow, they're there as well. So it turns into, like, then Sarah Marshall decides that she wants Peter back, and it's like they're trying to make each other jealous, but, like, so whatever. I don't know.
I mean, just so you guys that are listening, remember that these are films that we feel as though either you're going through a breakup or breakup comedy or just around that topic of breakupness. I mean, honestly, it depends on what kind of...
No, I chose this one because, like, I feel like it's so relatable that you... Even when you break up with someone, regardless of what side you're on, if you do the breaking up or you get broken up with, I feel like, or maybe it's just me, I feel like you always want to make the other person jealous, and there's a lot of this in this movie.
I'm rolling my eyes, by the way.
That's just me, so, like, that's what I related to Sarah Marshall's character the most, like, the one who, like, ended it and then, like, is all over the place trying to, like, cause chaos, so I don't know. It's one of my favorites.
Well, I have to watch it. I do have to.
It's really good.
My number three is 500 Days of Summer.
Woo!
Wait, did you pick this movie too?
It's on
my god. Yeah, so 500 Days of Summer. I will not say as much. But I guess it's a 2009 film, and it has Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zooey Deschanel. And one thing that, like, I know that Lauren knows about me, and most of my friends know about me, like Bianca, is that I actually can't stand Zooey Deschanel. And it's she's beautiful and whatever you guys want to call her, but airheaded hipster character that people, and yet she's so smart that she's almost like condescending. Like, I can't stand it. What I love about this movie is that it ends with a very realistic way of how people just break up. And I actually related most to Zooey's character because it's like, it's almost like you are going out with someone and you don't want to, you know, I remember when I would date girls, I didn't want to name them. And it's not even just a commitmentful, because I don't think that she was commitmentful. I just think she felt happy with him. Like, there was that scene that she was like, you just are. Like, aren't you just happy? Like, I'm happy. Like, why does it need to be anything? And that's why I related so much to the movie.
No, but we have that in common because I hate Zooey Deschanel too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Remember we talked about this.
See, I don't listen. Annoying. I don't listen.
I hate her little cotton commercials. The touch. You know? It's so fucking annoying. Her voice. I don't know.
What's your number three?
Okay, my number three is The Breakup, 2006, Vince Vaughn, Jen Aniston.
See, I never saw it.
Oh my,
I saw it. You know what? I actually like Vince Vaughn's, like, you know, like his voice and stuff, I don't really watch a lot of his films.
It's such a good movie. Basically, Jen Aniston's character, she plays a character named Brooke Myers, and her and Gary are together in the beginning of the movie. And they're both kind of fed up with each other. She feels taken for granted. He feels nagged at. So in order to prove a point, she breaks up with him. And the whole movie is them just trying to be, just get back at each other, try to dig at each other and kind of get what they want. And it's almost to the point where they're both too prideful and they both mess with each other so much that they end up losing each other. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, why I chose this one is because I feel like it's such like an important lesson that you shouldn't do, you shouldn't break up with someone and you shouldn't do things out of spite in order to get a reaction because, I mean, that really doesn't work. I don't know.
It doesn't
work. No. Stop laughing.
All right, so, I mean, honestly, I like Jennifer, well, actually, no, let me not lie to you. Because I know that you like Sarah. It's not Sarah Silverman. What's her name? The other comedian, the blonde one,
Chelsea Handler.
Chelsea Handler, and she and Jennifer Aniston are like butt buddies. So
yeah, I like to believe that they secretly hook up. That's what I think about at night.
Well, now I know. Now I know why she doesn't answer my texts at night. So my number two is Like Crazy. You ever heard of it?
I have. I don't know if I've seen it or not.
It's 2011, and it stars Anton Yelchin, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and Felicity Jones. Honestly, what I like about this film is, and it's pretty quick, it's about these two people, one American, one is a British, and Felicity, she plays this girl who is a student here in America, and obviously on a student visa, so she's legal, but not really. And every single time during the summer, she's actually supposed to go home. Because of the student visa like regulations, and they're, you know, they kind of hook up and like they form this beautiful relationship, and they're just so into each other that instead of her going home in the summer, she stays during the summer. And when she goes, she goes home for a week or something. And when she comes back to return to school, and you know they were stuck together for like days, and like there's a part of the film that. The cameras have it on Anton and Felicity where they're like on their bed and it's like the days go by but like you see like their clothes change and they're just all wrapped up in each other. Like it's very almost realistic in a way how people just when they're drawn to each other they don't really want to let each other go. Like it's very realistic to me. Mm-hmm. And when she returns back from visiting her parents like at the end of the summer and she's trying to go back to school, the immigration department actually says your visa was declined.
I have seen this. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen this. And then she can't come back into the country.
And she can't come back into the country.
Yep, and they're like long distance. And, I've seen this movie. So did I see it with you?
No, you didn't see it.
I guess I watched it by myself.
Uh-huh, of course. Yeah, that was a quick answer. I guess. No, but I loved it because, yeah, they do have to go into this long distance relationship. And it's so hard for them.
Yeah.
It's so hard for them. And you know what's funny? That is actually the first film that I saw Jennifer Lawrence in.
Really?
I don't know if you remember Jennifer Lawrence was in this film. She played... like the girlfriend on Anton. She played the girlfriend and she was, you know, blonde and stuff. Like I can't recognize her because she was one of my cats. But or Tiffany or whatever.
She looks
her
best
name
blonde.
Was. You think? Oh. I mean, I saw her in X-Men recently and I thought that she looks nice blonde, but I like her as a brunette. I feel like it makes her eyes look so much like creepy.
I feel like her she could have no hair and just be.
I know, she could be
perfect.
I mean, she looked this fucking mystique blue with red hair and she was hot.
Whatever. She doesn't even need a face.
She doesn't even need a face. She just needs like a
it's that body. It's that body.
Now we're really creepy. Like we're creeping the listener out.
It's okay.
No, but I'm telling you, if you want to see a realistic film that has the struggles of a relationship that it kind of, mind you, I won't tell you the end. I don't know if you remember the end, but
I do.
It's a very realistic look at how people over the years, because this actually stretches out to years, over the years that people try to stay together, eventually break apart, and then an attempt to come back together and like the reaction of it. And it's actually pretty awesome. What's your number two?
My number two is 500 Days of Summer. Woo! See, we have so much in common.
We just high-fived.
Yeah, that was a high-five. Okay. So So one thing that, like, you didn't really mention when you talked about it is, like, well, the reason, like, I loved this movie was, like you said, you related to Summer. I related to Tom's character.
Of course you did.
And the reason why is, like, I feel like he... It's just so true that when you're in a relationship and your emotions are tied into it, you sometimes don't see the red flags and you kind of avoid things. Like, you make things fit because you want it to work so much, and that I feel like that's what Tom did. And then after Summer kind of broke his heart and he had time to step away, he slowly was, like, looking back and, like, oh, this wasn't right. Like, that wasn't right. I don't know. I just feel like so many people can relate to that, how, like, you know, you're with someone and you think everything's perfect, and then once you're out of it, you're like, oh... Well, no, this wasn't right. Like, that, he kind of, like, I don't know, I feel like as the movie goes on, he goes through that, like, kind of depression over it. Then he's like, oh, well, Summer wasn't really all that it was cracked up to be, like.
Yeah, because what I did like about his character and what the director did was that when he was thinking, like, oh, my God, I love the way her lip, I love the way her hair smells, I love the way that she laughs, I love her
yeah.
her teeth, or whatever the hell he did, like, trying to list it, and like, the memories that he had of her in the beginning when he was feeling that depression of losing her, he felt like there were things that were actually wrong, or there were things that actually really happened, but he morphed them
exactly
into, like, it was positive when it was, like, there were signs everywhere.
Exactly.
And I'm sorry, maybe it was because... I don't like to call myself really a commitment phobe, but, I mean, you know better
yeah.
than me. But I felt like the way that Zooey Deschanel's character broke up with him wasn't even that bad.
No.
But maybe the way she said it was very, like, lighthearted, like, we need to break up. But I felt like her sitting him down, them talking, and her really thinking about it, because it felt like this was a span of, like, days and weeks that she felt this, like, this, you know, dissatisfaction. Her talking to him about it and saying, you know what, we should break up. And then him just being like, what? Well, we're fine. What do you mean? Like, he didn't see it.
She also didn't lead him on. The mm-hmm. thing is, she was always very upfront about the fact that she did not want to be his girlfriend. Like, she didn't believe in love. Like, it was very clear that she wasn't head over heels for this guy, but that's what he wanted to believe, so he ignored it all. He ended up hurting himself, really. He got too wrapped up in it.
I mean, I don't blame him for getting wrapped up.
No,
those
no.
are feelings,
yeah.
But I think that... It's just, what I like about this that film was that it shows you that people just have two different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think that the film tried to convey was that, you know what, none of them did anything wrong. None of them were to blame that the relationship didn't work. He saw it in a different perspective, and she
yeah.
saw it differently. She saw it as a more casual... And maybe she knew that he was more into her in that way than she was, but that isn't to show that she wasn't being loyal or faithful.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She was, you know, I think she was being pretty faithful, or, you know, it kind of demonstrated that she was. But I feel like just his way of looking at the relationship was just completely different.
He saw in her a soulmate, and she didn't. She always kind of felt like, you could always see in Summer that she was kind of depressed. Like, she didn't believe in true love. Like, she was like, am I ever going to feel that, like, spark? And then when she's talking about when she meets up with Tom again at the park, and they're talking about, like, you know, her new husband or whatever, she's like, you know, what's that line she says? Something about, like, it's what I never knew with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
never,
yeah.
Yes,
she's like, you know, I just met him, and then it all made sense to me. So,
and, like, that shows you, you know,
he was never right for her.
He wasn't right for her.
She was perfect for him. So.
And I love the ending.
Oh, of course.
Which, I mean, I just love how yeah. it was like a little wink at the end, because he met Autumn,
yeah.
which was cute. I actually love that name, Autumn. Can I have a daughter named Autumn?
Why are you asking me?
I don't know why I'm asking. I think it was asking the computer screen, asshole. All right, so that was your number two. My number one.
Ooh, drum roll.
Is Closer. Did you ever watch Closer?
I don't know. I need to hear.
Closer is a 2004 film, and it stars Julia Roberts, Clive Owen, Natalie Portman, and Jude Law.
Is that where they have orgies everywhere?
No.
Eyes Wide
no.
Shut.
No. It's actually very serious, and it has the soundtrack is only with Damien Rice's The Blower's Daughter, which I fell in love with that song before ever hearing or before ever knowing about the movie, The Closer. But it's just in a nutshell, it's very complicated, but in a nutshell, it's about, it first starts off with Jude Law and Natalie Portman running into each other in England, and Natalie Portman gets hit by a car, and she, like, they've kind of been staring at each other for, like, what it feels like 5 minutes of an introduction of them just walking slowly, like, within a crowd of people, and they notice each other from that crowd of people, like just walking, and they kind of see, like, I guess they notice each other like as they walk. Mm-hmm. And then when Natalie Portman turns to like cross the street, I guess she's accustomed to the American way of looking to the left, because that's where, you know, cars are coming from, like the right side. But so she looks to the left, which is where cars are coming, you know, the car in England is the other way around. So she looks to the left instead of the right, and she actually gets hit by a car. Oh. And then he runs to her and tries to like see if she's okay, and like her first line is like, "Hello, stranger," or something weird like that. But then after that accident, like, they have been inseparable. And then fast forward to like a couple years or a year or two, and he meets Julia Roberts, who's like a depressed character, well, secretly depressed character, better yet. And then they have like this connection, but she's in a relationship with Clive Owen, who is like this total fucking douchebag of like, I think he's a, I don't know if he's a plastic surgeon or a dentist or something, or no, he's what are the people that have the dermatologist? There you go. He's like this rich dermatologist, and yet he is interested in Natalie Portman, and it's just this big spellbinding, really small story about how people's relationships kind of deteriorate over time. But it's like the way people look at relationships. Like, Natalie Portman's character is a liar in this film, and she has this persona that she portrays while she's in England. And this is not like a spoiler, really, but she has this persona that she portrays, and yet she loses interest in Jude Law's character. Mind you, she's completely in love with him, but she loses interest in him because she revealed her true self, because he forced her to be honest with him, and she lost interest when she was in love with him and crying over him before revealing who she was. It's like that kind of like, it may not be as realistic as like 500 Days of Summer or Like Crazy, but it's a film that really, these are adults, and these are people that they have like what they want out of relationships is just different. I don't know. I could talk about this film forever, and it's just so emotionally like straining, but I have watched it like 10 times.
I'll have to see that.
You have to see it. It's really good movie. What's yours?
Do you want to guess?
No,
you'll never guess.
I will never guess.
Okay, I chose Silver Linings Playbook for my number
one.
Yeah. 2012 with Bradley Cooper and the beautiful Jennifer Lawrence that we were just talking
about. See, but she looks good as a person.
Oh, she looks great anyway. But I chose this one specifically because what I loved about these two characters, Bradley Cooper's character was Pat and Jennifer Lawrence played a character named Tiffany, was that they both were kind of rebounding in a way. So Bradley Cooper had just ended his marriage with his wife and was still really, really not over it, really depressed over it. And Jennifer Lawrence lost her husband, who he had passed away. So they were both hurt and still really wrapped up in other people. And they kind of unexpectedly found each other and used each other to heal and ended up finding like love out of that. I love that they were both kind of rebounding and didn't really expect to get that from the other person, and it kind of turned into something more. And also the psych nerd in me loved just like the mental health aspect, you know, like I couldn't resist
both
that
issue. Yeah, they were both the same, though, right?
Bradley Cooper's character was bipolar, and I don't recall. I think Jennifer Lawrence's
I think she was also bipolar.
She had issues. No, like, I think wasn't she an addict? I don't know.
No, she had post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
But then I think that she was also bipolar, because she kept on talking about like, oh, I also, you know, I was prescribed this and this for my bipolar. And
but
I
mean,
like,
this and this. So you know, the nerd in me just ate that.
Yeah,
up.
you sucked all that up. Pun intended. But you know, I love that film actually, because
it's great.
I actually found those two really hot couple.
Yeah!
I found them really hot. And even with the age difference and everything, like, I found just Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence together, I found them really interesting.
It's not even the actor and the actress necessarily, it's the characters. Like, I just really, they were both really fucked up. Mm-hmm. And, like, they made just such a great, like, they were both fucked up in different ways, and when they came together, it was just, like, it was
and,
hot.
Yeah, and even the end, like, well, again,
don't
we won't
give
talk
it
about
away.
The end, but, like, I don't know, the ending, if you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
it was just hot. Yeah. It was just hot.
It was hot, and they had so much chemistry. Mm-hmm. So much.
And like that's when I talk about like the actors really played off of each other, and they did so damn well.
You will have a boner, guaranteed.
You will have a boner, gay or straight.
A lady boner.
Any boner in the world. But those are our type. Oh my god. Those are our top 5 or 10 in a way.
Yeah, I mean,
non-queer films. And on a little short break, we're gonna talk about our top 5 or 10 queer films.
Hopefully I didn't butcher that too much. My first little podcast.
You did really well. All right, I guess I'll be right back.
Bye.
Okay, so we're a little bit cheesy, but I'm glad if you guys have been listening. It was really fun doing this with my girlfriend. And again, this is just the first part series. Our second part will be coming in about a week or so, and that's going to do all of the queer / LGBT friendly films that made it into our top 5 breakup list. One more thing, music that was in this podcast, we had music featuring Chris Brown, Robin Thicke, Christina Perry, Eamon, Zedd, Capital Cities, Miley Cyrus, the great Kelly Clarkson, and so much more that's going to be featured in our podcast as of also next week. And one more thing, come on guys, vote for Movies a la Queer as Stitcher Radio's 2013 Best New Show. The link will be down below. All you have to do is like their page. It takes about a couple seconds. After you know, deal with liking their page, just go to that link. I'll be able to nominate Movies a la Queer as 2013's Stitcher Radio's Best New Show. Why not? I'd love to see an award about us. Anyway, thanks guys for listening. Mwah! I'll see you guys soon. Watch those films. If you have any other questions, just email us at moviesalaqueer@gmail.com. Also show us a tweet @moviesalaqueer. See you guys later. Bye.